Stay seated for just a minute. Head to 2 Peter, and then we'll stand here in just a minute, but I'm going to preach to you for just a second, and then we'll get to the text. Thanks for being here. Thanks for playing. Thanks for being part of the game. It's tough. It's tough when you're up here trying to think of a question, and then you ask a stupid question, and they say it's before Kings, and then you say of somebody that's in the Minor Prophets, you're like, that ain't right, and you're humiliated. Oh, I got good sportsmanship. It's good to be a good sport. It's better to win. No, that's not anything. I like to win, but you need to be a good sport while you win. But I am glad I beat Brother Hadley, I have to say. Grateful for that. I thought for sure we lost. I was asking dumb questions. I thought for sure. I did. Did I not have almost all the women? It's like they did it on purpose. Did you do it on purpose? That was crazy. That was crazy. You're in 2 Peter here in just a minute. I'll preach quick. You listen quick, I'll preach quick. Deal? Okay. Now, usually at my church, can I treat y'all like you're at my church for a little bit? Is that okay with y'all? Okay. So sometimes I keep a little stack of psalm books up here. And we have afternoon service. We have for ever since I've pastored, before I took over the church, they had afternoon service. We had morning service, then we break for a couple hours, we have an afternoon service, and then we're done for the day. The afternoon service, people get sleepy. So I keep a little stack of psalm books up here. And I'm pretty good. I can hit like five rows back. I can hit who I'm shooting for. Then about the first five rows, you're a good target for this guy from where I'm at. I won't do that. I'm sure there's some liability issues with that we probably shouldn't do. But stay awake if you would for a few minutes. What great preaching we heard just before this last message from Brother Hadley. That was awesome. You know, we need hard preaching. I hope you can handle hard preaching. We're living in a time where your generation is offended at everything. And somebody says something. You know, I go, by the way, let me say this. You don't get better just because you went to the doctor. And you don't get better just because you come to church. You get better when you do what the doctor says. And you get better when you leave church and do what the preacher or the Word of God or the Spirit of God taught you to do. You don't get better just because. And you know what? When I go into the doctor, you know what I want him to tell me? The truth. Maybe we should charge you more for being here. You'd want more truth. I don't know. But if my doctor's paying, if I'm paying him, he's going to tell me the truth when I go in. And sometimes the truth's not great. Right. Glenn, you're fat. Wait a minute. Nobody talks to me like that. You know what it didn't change? Me being fat. He could have said it nicer. Probably could have. Doesn't change the fact that it's true. So somebody, but be careful. Your generation gets hung up on how the preacher said it instead of checking out and see if it's true. Be careful. Word of God. By the way, this book's offensive. This book's offensive, man. People all like, Jesus come to bring the world together. Read your Bible. Jesus said, I come to divide. I'm going to tell you, to the point of even saying, if you're going to be one of my disciples, hate your mother, your father, your brother. You know why? They're going to say, you hate us. You don't want to live the way we live. You don't want to be here when the church time is on. And you hate us. No, I just love Jesus more than I love you. Got to be able to endure hard preaching. Great, great message this morning. I hope you'll pay attention to it because it is a problem in your generation and in your age group. I want to preach to you about the will of God. Let me do it fast. I'm going to tell you the will of God for your life. But wouldn't that be great? Somebody could just tell me the will of God for my life. Well, the Bible does that. And we complicate things. I was at a conference, took our kids to a youth conference one time, and a preacher got up. And man, he preached about the will of God. Good message. And talked about the will of God, that if you really seek it and you really pray for it and you really, oh, you can find it. And I mean, he made it like it was really hard to find. And then a couple sessions later, another guy got up and you know what he preached on? God takes volunteers. And my kids are like, okay, do you just volunteer? Or do you search and search and search and finally find it? So let's talk about it from the scripture. Call of God, direction in our lives, God's purpose for us, the reason God created you. Sometimes think that's mysterious, that it's hard to find. And some preachers have even made the connotation that you may go through your whole life, but you're never going to really know if you were in the will of God until you get to heaven. That's unscriptural. It's unbiblical. I'll show you that. You can know right now if you're in the will of God. And I'll show you, I want to show you that in Scripture. And so we want to address a few of these things. Let's set a couple things straight. God wants you to know His will. It's not hidden. It's not exclusive to certain people. It's not only for those that are called to a certain position. Everyone is to live in the will of God. There's no one sitting in this auditorium today that can say, God doesn't have a plan for me. There's no one in here that could say, I get to live any way I want because I get to make my own choices. God doesn't have any thoughts in this thing. God has a will and He wants every one of us to live in it. God's calling may be different for many of us in this room, but His will is the same for all of us. Right? So here, my life verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's God's will for my life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, that here it is, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Okay? Solomon, the man, you remember Solomon, if you read Ecclesiastes, and many times some of these books we ignore in the Old Testament, I don't really know why, but Solomon really makes out a very clear, chapter 1 up to chapter 2, verse 17, he makes it very clear that he tried everything that life had to offer to bring him joy, pleasure, some type of contentment, some type of peace. He tried women, he tried music, he tried parties, he tried drugs, he tried alcohol, he tried getting more possessions, he tried building more houses, he tried getting more vineyards, he tried conquering more things. He said at the end of it, I did everything that my heart, I held nothing back that my heart's desire was. And he says in chapter 2, verse 17, therefore, I hated life. You know why? Because he wasn't doing the will of God. The will of God was wrapped up in chapter 12 where he just said, let's get the conclusion of everything I've just said to you. This is the duty of man, that you fear God and you keep His commandments. Very clear in Scripture. All right, let's stand. Let's read a passage. I'm going to read one verse, pray. Well, let's just sit down and we'll go through this fairly quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Watch now. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. While you're standing, go over to 2 Timothy. Just go back to 2 Timothy real quick. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me, 1 Timothy, I apologize. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now here it is again, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. Father, bless the message. Thank you for these young people. I pray that we can get their attention. You can hold their attention here for the next 15, 20 minutes. And then we can get this point across you've laid on my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Can I say, based on the authority of the Scripture, that it is the will of God that you are saved? It is God's will that you are saved. The Bible tells us that He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to end up in hell. And by the way, hell is a real place. Real people are in hell. The Bible tells us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. They died. We know the story. The Bible says when the rich man died, the very next words recorded in Scripture are this: and in hell. Be careful that you don't think hell's something that fiction made up. Be careful you don't think hell's something the movies have made. This is a real place that real people go to, that real people suffer. They suffer in pain. By the way, you still have your senses in hell. Listen to me. He could taste. I just want a drop of water that it'll cool my tongue. He had his memories. I have brethren that are not saved. I don't want them to come to this place. Please go tell them so they won't come to this place. And that I don't want them to come to hell. It's a place of pain. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of gnashing of teeth. It's not a party. It's not a beer fest. It's not everybody gets together. I'll hear people say, well, I'm just going to go in hell and hang out with my buddies. You are utterly alone, separated from God for eternity in hell. There is no party. There's only pain. And you never get out because you cannot pay your own sin debt. So there's no purgatory, there's no way to pray it out or light a candle out or give enough offering out. When you step from this life into eternity, your decision for your eternal destiny has been determined. He says, I want you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is that truth? We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. I always love this when I read this in Scripture. It's as if God knew somebody was going to argue with Him. There is none righteous. Well, no, not one. None of you are good enough to get into heaven. None of you. I'm better than so-and-so. Not good enough to get into heaven. You just go to hell better than somebody else. Well, I don't do what everybody else does, so I'm up on the list, and I have more of a chance to get into heaven than that person because I don't do the things they do. No, you just go to hell not doing some of the things they did. The truth is that we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is the wages, the price for your sin is death. That's the wage for every one of us in this room. Everybody in here is going to die because of sin. We are going to suffer the death. We have a spiritual death that lasts for eternity because of the wages of sin. The truth is, and a good thing for this, God loves sinners. And God was willing to give His Son to pay your sin debt. You cannot pay it. You deserve hell. Those in hell are there forever because they could never pay enough price to get out. Christ, the Bible says, the truth is, Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He who could not do sin became something He wasn't so that you and I could become something we could never be. All because of Jesus Christ. Now, I say this to my church. I say this when I go preach. I tell this to people all the time. I am 100% going to heaven based on Jesus Christ, or I'm 100% going to end up in hell based on Jesus Christ. But Brother Hadley, I've put all my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for me. I don't trust my goodness. I don't trust anything that I'm a preacher. I don't trust that I've been baptized. I don't trust that I give. I don't trust that I'm try to live a good life and try to live a way that would please the Lord. That's none. I have righteousness. He became sin for me, and then He clothed me in His righteousness. Christ died. Paid your sin debt, paid the penalty in hell, rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and only He can offer you eternal life. If you are trusting in anything other than Christ for your salvation, you've missed the will of God. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, you are out of the will of God. Now, right now in your mind, the most important thing we're going to do right now in your mind, you ought to instantly know where you were when you got saved. Instantly. If you're struggling right now, I would not rely on that. You know, hey, I'm married, my beautiful wife in the back. I know where I was when I got married. I don't come to you and say, well, I think I've just been married all my life. I was born married. No, you'd say, you're an idiot. You got married at a certain time in a certain place, and you should know where you were when you got married. Does that make sense to you? You should know where you were when you got saved. You weren't born saved. Well, I grew up in church. Whoop-de-doo. By the way, I think a lot of people in our churches are going to hell. I just do. I think a lot of them have heard the truth. I think they know the way. I think they've got really close to the door of heaven, but they've never accepted what Christ did for them. And because you come and you confront them and you're getting nervous right now. Listen, I'll just do this. Julie, where were you when you got saved? Dad, where were you when you got saved? Brother Hadley, where were you when you got saved? I got saved at a dining room table at our house. My dad led me to the Lord at a dining room table with a, I don't know, we had some orange colored chair. I remember that orange. I don't know why we had that, but I remember kneeling at that orange chair and my dad taking the word of God. And I accepted that night. I had been in church. I had made a profession of faith, but that night I felt convicted for my sin. I had heard all the things. I had said all the words. I had prayed the prayer, Brother Mason. But that night after dad preached on a Wednesday night, I felt convicted for my sin. My God, my Savior came searching for me. I knew I was lost. I knew my sin had separated me from God. I knew I had to personally accept what Jesus Christ did for me. It wasn't enough that I just said some words. It wasn't enough that I just prayed. Look up here, look up here, look up here. If you just prayed and never felt conviction, you're not saved. He draws you. He convicts you. He tells you. Brother Glenn, I said a prayer. My dad, my grandma told me when I was 3, I prayed. Lord of mercy. My grandma told me I did things when I was 3 too. Listen, don't you rely on that. Are you scared to death? I'll call your name right now. Are you scared to death? I'll call your name right now and say, where were you when you got saved? You say, man, I'm getting nervous. I'm going to tell you something. You need to just get saved. God's will is for you to be saved. Well, Brother Glenn, I'm going to trust my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to get in on my own. I don't need God. That's blasphemous. And I'm going to tell you something. When you blaspheme the work of the Holy Ghost, when you blaspheme the very Son of God, and you say, I don't need what you did for me. I love my son. I say this to our church all the time. I believe it's all my heart. Without hesitation, I give my life for my wife. I give my life for my kids. Definitely give my life for my grandkids. I love my grandkids. I'm grateful for my kids because they gave me grandkids. All right. I ask God to let me develop a love for His people, His church, my church that I'm pastoring. God, get my heart to the place that I could give my life for my church. These are the people that you've given me to shepherd, and you have asked me to be their shepherd, and I want to get a heart to do that. But I'm just going to tell you flat out. I'll tell you this. There's nobody I'd give my son for. And if I did, and you mocked it, or you threw it back in my face and said, I don't need it, we're going to have a problem. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't accept what Jesus Christ did for you, you are out of the will of God. I got to preach faster, don't I? 1 Thessalonians. You guys may get lucky. My voice may give out. I've been under the weather. Our church has prayed that my voice would hold up for me to get through these meetings. I've only preached one time in the last 3 weeks. I was totally no voice. Can y'all imagine me with no voice? The world's just a different place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Can I tell you the will of God for you? Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Right? Hey, this is pretty clear. For this is the will of God. Y'all understand that, right? We don't need to go back to Greek, Hebrew. We can stick right with the English here. You got it? This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye would abstain from fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. God's will is that every one of you abstain from fornication. By the way, abstaining from fornication is a key role in your sanctification. This is why music matters, because music promotes and focuses on fornication. There is no good rap. There is no good rock. There is no good country. Listen, I like sports and I like watching sports, but I don't watch the halftime show at the Super Bowl. You can't watch half the commercials during the Super Bowl. They promote fornication. You have to decide, if I'm going to be in the will of God, I want to be in the will of God. Well, the first thing you got to do is be saved. And if you're going to be in the will of God according to the Word of God, this is the will of God, that you abstain from fornication. And we live in a time where the music industry is all about it. Movies matter. Hollywood loves and promotes fornication. The internet matters. It's full of fornication. By the way, go back with me to verse 1 here in chapter 4. Verse 4, 1 and verse 4 totally debunk this idea that God loves you the way you are and is okay with you being whatever you want to be. He says this. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and please God. Chapter 4, verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You don't get to get saved and just live any way you want. You don't get to get saved and say, I'm going to come to church on Sunday. And God's, listen to me, please listen to me. You haven't really impressed God just by showing up at church. Be ye a doer of the word, not hearers only. Most of us today, if we're honest, if you get something out of church, it's because you came on purpose to listen on purpose, to pay attention on purpose, to get something on purpose. Brother Hadley preached yesterday about abiding. How are we going to abide? How are we going to abide? I take notes. My practice is I take notes, and then the next day for my devotions, I go back to whoever preached, whoever's note I was sitting on. I reread the notes and I say, Lord, did I miss anything? What were you trying to teach me? What was this passage? I went through those notes again and I wanted to meditate on that. I wanted to chew it over in my mind. You're going to have to do some things on purpose. You don't show up at church and accidentally walk out with a blessing. You have to be willing to say, I'll tell you what, I want to be in the will of God. Well, if I'm in the will of God, it's because I'm saved. If I'm in the will of God, it's because I've decided I'm going to abstain from fornication, and you're going to have to make a decision to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. We live in a world that has no honor. We live in a world that makes statements of my truth. I'll speak my truth. And what they're saying is, I'll replace God. I'll replace God's word. I will live my way. I will do whatever I want. I am God. There is not your truth. There is not my truth. There is His truth. And it is the only truth. Amen. By the way, I wouldn't give a care of what anybody in this old world thinks. If they think I'm crazy because I believe God, I think you're crazy because you don't know the difference between a man and a woman. I think you're crazy when a congressman can ask a doctor, can men get pregnant, and they can't answer it. I think you're nuts. I think you don't have any truth. I don't think you're worth listening to. I don't think I got to pay attention to you. You don't even know the difference. I do, and I'm not a doctor. I know truth. Because I know the God of truth, and I hold in my hands the word of truth. Brother Hadley mentioned this, and it struck me as he was preaching this morning. Listen, study this thing out, and you'll find this is true. The work of the Holy Spirit was to take you and teach you the truth of the word of God. And when he does, he always, study it, he always points you to Jesus. You know what Jesus did in his whole earthly ministry? Always pointed you to the Father. The Holy Spirit's work was to point you to Jesus. Jesus points you toward the Heavenly Father. It was never about you. It's never about what you want. I'll live the way I want. I'll sleep around. I'll party. I'll get on pornography. I'll do all the things that I want. Listen, I'm telling you, you're out of the will of God if you don't avoid and abstain from fornication. I'm going to tell you something. If you're pure this morning and if you're holy this morning and you've protected yourself, thank God for that. There's nothing you can give to your future spouse. Nothing that you can give to them more than purity. Don't you let the world downplay that. Now, God can say, Brother Glenn, I've messed up and I've participated in fornication. Well, you need to get that right and then you need to stop it. Stop it. Okay? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something that God has done. And I'm going to try to be discreet and I want to be right in this thing. Listen, I don't know if there is better sex out in the world than I have with my wife because I've only had sex with my wife. Huh? That was God's plan. That's still God's plan. You protect your purity. You young men, protect your mind. Protect your eyes. You got to be careful what you look at. You got to be careful what you listen to. It affects how you think of women. It affects how you will treat women. It will affect how you treat your wife. It will affect how you raise your daughters. I'm telling you, you need to protect yourself. Abstain from fornication. Brother Glenn, I'm in the will of God. Not if you're in fornication. Not if you're in pornography. Not if you're listening to the world music that promotes fornication. You're not in the will of God this morning. 7 minutes, I'm on a roll. I got time. Let me give you one more. Y'all okay? Chapter 5, verse 18. If my voice is going to give out, I'm going to give you everything I got right now. Chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. Uh-oh. For this is the will of God. Y'all understand that, right? Y'all understand what that means, right? Do you know that this thing of unthankfulness is mentioned amongst some of the, we would call, nastiest sins in the Bible? I'll show you. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Young people, I hope y'all know. We preach hard and we get after it because we want you to serve God. We want you to have the best life you can have. Man, I want you to have the best life you can have. Chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish hearts was darkened. You can go on, we're not going to read this for sake of time. Verse 23, they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God. God gives them up in verse 24. They change the truth of God into a lie in verse 25 and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. God gave them up in verse 26 to their vile affections. Even in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, how did it start? Unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, excuse me, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I need y'all to listen faster because I'm getting hungry. All right, let's finish this up. Chapter 3. I said 2 Timothy, didn't I? I hope I did. I meant to say 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than loving of God, lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I said this a little bit yesterday. Brother Hadley mentioned it a little bit today. But I have to tell you, I'm just tired of young people in your age group that graduate from our Christian schools or graduate from our institute, and after graduation, they become ingrates. I said this to the young men yesterday. I'll say it to you in this service as well. Don't walk out of this place and become a recovering fundamentalist. Brother Hadley said it, but this is the absolute truth. I've never seen a recovering fundamentalist ever recover. They're angry, they're mean, they're mad, they're hurt. They never get over it. If theirs is so much better, just go. I'm old-fashioned. I was around before there was all this internet and everything. I liked it. Whenever somebody left a church, they just left. Huh? Man, I long for those days again. Now when somebody leaves my church, then I got to worry about all the internet, all the Facebook, all the social media. They reach back into my church all the time, try to grab somebody else, and they try to grab somebody else, and they try to grab somebody else. And if you as a preacher get up and say, "Ah, you ain't doing that," oh, you got to be careful. You're too mean. I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of it. We are unthankful and ungrateful people. And they go out and they become this, whatever they want to call it. Now listen to me. Brother Hadley mentioned this. I don't know how the Lord works this out. I about changed my message because he preached part of it. And I guess I don't know if the Lord's in this or I'm just stubborn. I don't know. But listen, this crowd never lifts God up in His holiness. They never lift up His purity. They never lift up His righteousness. They never lift up that He's just. They always lower what God is. They lower His holiness. They lower His righteousness. They lower His purity. They are not becoming stronger Christians. They are not becoming more separated from the world. They're not becoming more salt. They're not becoming more light. They are going exactly the opposite. Brother Hadley mentioned it. They are not just taking away. They are now anti-Christ. They are against what God's for. They are against what Christ is about. Now I'm telling you something. I want to have friends in the crowd. Hello. Listen, I'm friendly to everybody. I don't have a whole lot of friends. Y'all hearing me? I'll go to the store. I'll talk to everybody. I embarrass my wife all the time. Be walking down the aisle. Went last night, Walmart. I'd pass people and, "How you doing?" People don't want to talk. They don't like to talk. But I'm friendly. I went to Chicago one time. I did a funeral up in Wisconsin. We came back through. Our son was a young little guy. We stopped in Chicago. We spent the night. Julie said, let's just go spend the night. We'll go down to Lake Michigan. We'll walk a little bit. Chad can see it. I got out of that hotel. First of all, we parked the car. They wanted like $40 for your parking spot. And she said, "Well, we can drive down." I said, no, the car ain't moving until we leave this place. I ain't paying $40 every time we move. And so I walked down. You know what I passed? All these stores, bars everywhere. Everything was, security had to let you in a store. Well, I'm talking to everybody on the street. "How you doing? How you doing?" These people, Jesus was like, "You're going to get us killed." I'm friendly to everybody, but I don't have friends. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you leave my God, hello, you leave my God, you leave this book. Hey, I haven't abandoned you. You've left me. And some of you need to decide, some of these friends that have left these places and these churches and these places that stand for truth, and they're not out. You say, "Brother Clint, I'm just not that kind of a friend." You've got the wrong kind of friends. And they're going to pull you toward what they do. And before long, you'll become unthankful. And you'll become ungrateful. And they'll pull you in a direction. They use this term, "Well, we've just found more liberty in Christ." Now listen, I'm going to tell you what that means. We have found that we can be worldly with this crowd. We can be carnal with this crowd. We can go after their music with this crowd. I'm so tired of hearing people say, "Music is amoral." That's just garbage. You don't have a brain. That doesn't make any sense. God, listen to me, young people, God has never changed. So much so, He's not even got a shadow of turning. Not even a shadow of it. We got to move on. Be thankful for your church. Be thankful for your pastor. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful for the presence and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't be any of you young people that don't tell your preacher you're grateful for him every week. every week you ought to show some gratefulness. It's not easy to prepare messages. It's not easy to preach sometimes. It's not easy to take a church. And sometimes you have to handle things that you shouldn't have to handle. And you have to deal with things that nobody will ever know about. I will go to my grave with secrets in our church that nobody in our church will ever know. And if you're a pastor, you will take things that you have tried to help people with, and you bear that burden alone, and it's yours, and it will be something you have. Listen, you need to be grateful for a man of God. If you are here today, and you have a man of God that took time to put some interest in you for this meeting, that took time to bring you, that takes time to prepare a message, takes time to preach, takes time to warn you of your sin, takes time to get after you when you're wrong, that should not make you mad. That should make you grateful. By the way, your pastor is your pastor. So tired of these guys. I got a few in my church. The internet has become their pastor. I've told two of them, you should move. Every time you talk to them, they talk about a pastor, the guy they're listening to online. I said, you should move. He's your pastor, not me. You should go get a part of his church. You should be a part of his body, because I can't pastor you. Listen, if God puts you in a good church that preaches hard, thank God for men of God that'll preach hard. You need to be challenged. You need to be told you're wrong, because there's a lot of times you're wrong. All right. You need to be thankful for hard preaching, a staff that challenges your laziness. Thankful for this old King James Bible. Thankful for standards that are biblical. Thankful for godly parents and teachers. Thankful that there's bus ministries to run and nursing home ministries to preach at. Thankful that a church that puts God first cares more about what he thinks than what you think. Cares more about pleasing God than pleasing you. When you become unthankful, it is fertile ground for Satan to get you to be unfaithful. Brother Glenn, I want to be in the will of God. Here it is. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're not in the will of God. I don't care what you try to do. You can play this game all you want. You are out of the will of God. If you are involved in fornication, and you are involved in pornography, if you're involved in the world's music, if you're involved in the atmosphere that promotes all of that, you're out of the will of God. And if you are not thankful, you are not thankful. You're out of the will of God. Why is it so hard to say thank you? None of us should leave this place without thanking these ladies downstairs. None of us. Just thank you. They're preparing the meal. We get to go eat. We don't have to do anything. Show some gratefulness.